Graham McDowell joins us on Sports Byline USA. You certainly know that name because he's the 2010 U.S. Open champion, and he has 8 professional wins, including 7 on the European Tour, and he was a winner of the European Tour Golfer of the Year Award as well. You know, a lot of people hear about the European Tour, but I don't think on this side of the ocean most people know much about it. Tell us a little bit about the European Tour and how it compares to the PGA Tour, Graham.
Hey, Ron, how you doing? Thanks for having me on today. You know, big differences between the PGA Tour and the European Tour. The PGA Tour doesn't travel quite as much as the European Tour does. You know, they're based very much here in the United States. The European Tour is European really by name alone. We travel all over Asia, Australia, South Africa, the Middle East. We do end up getting some pretty hefty frequent flyer miles, as you can imagine. And, you know, the European Tour is very interesting from the point of view. It's very culturally diverse. We do play in some amazing places around the world and get to experience some amazing cultures as well. So, you know, I get the best of both worlds. I have a PGA Tour kind of card and a European Tour card, so I can play the best events pretty much all around the planet, and certainly consider myself, you know, one of the many global players that we have on tours around the world. So it's a lot of fun, and I love what I do.
I would have think that experience on the European Tour would be helpful on the PGA Tour in so much as, Graham, that it gives you a lot of adaptability, and adaptability is what any athlete, particularly a golfer, probably needs to have. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yeah, I think that's a very, very fair assumption because, you know, one of the things I think really, really rounds us as players on the European Tour is that we have to deal with not only different cultures, but different environments, different weather systems, and different golf course setups. You know, I think in the PGA Tour, I'm not going to say the guys are a little spoiled. You know, the course conditions week in, week out are very consistent. You know, the amount of sand in the bunkers, the length of the rough, the speed of the greens, you know, the courtesy car services, the food. It's very, very kind of a very consistent week in, week out, and fantastic. And, you know, you definitely get a little spoiled on the PGA Tour, but the European Tour is a little different from the point of view. Like I say, the environments can change. The types of grasses we're playing on from Asia to Britain and Ireland, you know, to South Africa, to Australia. You can imagine the different types of environments that you have to deal with. And there's no doubt, I think the adaptability that the European Tour players have really kind of serves us well when we do start to come here to the States and face these great conditions. I think it makes us much, much more rounded players. And, you know, I think that's why you see so much strength in the European Tour as we have right now.
I think you're right. The word is spoiled. When you take a look at the different environments that you do play in, I mean, if you're playing in Abu Dhabi and you're talking about the desert environment there and then over in Asia, what are some of the unique challenges you really have found playing in those different environments?
You know, just I suppose weather plays a huge part, obviously, in golf. You know, I mean, windy, rain, cold. I mean, golf is hugely affected by the environment, no doubt about that. And so you know, we definitely playing golf in Britain and Ireland, for example, we can experience some cold and nasty type weather. You know, and combine that with the extreme heat of, say, Singapore or Kuala Lumpur, you know, playing in extremely hot and humid conditions and just a different type of grasses that kind of exist in those places. But, I mean, apart from that, the travel, the jet lag, the dealing with the different cultures, the different food, you know, really, really kind of can stress the body over the space of a year when you start playing 30, 35 events a year and traveling all around the world. So you really got to be careful that you schedule yourself correctly and don't over-travel and don't kind of wear yourself out too much.
Johnny Miller and I were talking one time about the majors and how they do differ from playing just another stop on the PGA Tour. The preparation is different. The stresses are different. The focus is obviously different. You have a chance now to have reflected on winning the U.S. Open in 2010. When you look back at your effort, your successful effort, what impresses Graham McDowell the most about what you were able to do for 4 days, Graham?
You know, I think when you look at major championships, I mean, they are so much more marathons than they are sprints. They're physically and mentally very demanding because the golf course setups are so tough. You've really got to kind of approach them maybe with a laid-back nature because, I mean, you don't want to overexert yourself early in the week. You want to make sure you have something left in the tank, as the golf course becomes tougher and tougher as the weekend goes on. When I look back to Pebble, I guess I just, think about how patient I was that week and how calm and under control of my emotions I was. And, as the golf course became much more difficult, and you've got to keep reminding yourself that par is always a great score in that type of setup. And you just have the peace of mind and the patience to hang tough when everyone else was having a tough day that Sunday. I mean, it wasn't, I certainly look back and wish maybe I could have shot 66 and kind of won it in a bit more style than I won. But, the U.S. Open, especially that year at Pebble, was a real grind. And, I was really just kind of, it was a war of attrition. I was the last man standing. And like I say, just my mental strength really that weekend is something I'm most proud of.
Patience is the key word, and that's not something that comes easy, especially for the young golfer. Now, I know you tour and you practice with Rory McIlroy, and I've often said this, Graham, and I think you'll appreciate it. You simply cannot push the clock ahead on experience. Those little nuances that you learn that allow you to deal with the difficult rounds and keep it all in perspective where you have that patience. How hard is that? How long does that take for the golfer to become patient with themselves?
You're always learning in this game. Every round of golf, every day you're out there, you learn something new about yourself, especially in the heat of battle. When you talk about Rory McIlroy, say the Sunday at Augusta in 2011, we had the lead into that last round and kind of imploded the way he did that back nine. He learned a huge amount about himself that day. Yes, it hurt. Yes, it was difficult. But, I've always found that I learn most about myself on my tough days and my dark days. And you really, really kind of, as long as you learn from your experiences, you can pour that experience back into the tank and have that for the future. Rory bounced back and played so well at Congressional and blew the field away and won the U.S. Open and has become the world's number one golfer. And I'm sure that day, that Sunday afternoon in 2011 at Augusta, was a big learning experience for him. And like you say, experience counts for a lot in this game. Of course, talent, you cannot replace talent, but experience, knowing how to manage your game, knowing how to manage yourself under pressure, these are the things we learn with time. And kids like Rory McIlroy, I call him a kid. I mean, he's the number one player in the world. He's 10 years younger than me, so I guess I'm allowed to call him a kid, but he's extremely talented, and they've been around the game for a long time, and they're very, very experienced as well. But he can only get better and better as time goes on.
We only have a couple minutes left, but you were born in Northern Ireland. Ireland, of course, the birthplace for the sport of golf. And I don't know whether you can put it into words so that Americans and other people around the world that are listening to the show tonight can understand about what golf means to Ireland and what Ireland means to golf. Can you put it in perspective for me, Graham?
We've had just an amazing run since 2008. Irish people are very proud of Pádraig Harrington and his three major championships. And then myself, Rory, and Darren Clark following that up with three major championships. And we have a long, obviously, golf is Ireland's steeped in history. With huge amounts of great golf courses, great golfers. We've always had a knack of producing great players, and that kind of great run that our Irish golf is having is set to continue. Rory McIlroy is the number one player in the world, and he will continue to win tournaments and win majors. And I certainly believe that I can win many more as well. And, obviously Darren Clark, I know we've got many more great players coming through. And we're just very proud of our golf courses. We're very proud of our golf clubs and the traditions of golf in Ireland. And, I'm always a big advocate for, meeting people around the world to try and get them to come play golf in Ireland. I mean, I'm from a great golf course on the north coast called Portrush, and it's one of my favorite golf courses in the world. And like I say, anytime I meet people, I very much open the invitation to get them to come and play golf in Ireland and enjoy our incredible hospitality and come and enjoy themselves.
I know you were involved with the what they call the 100-year challenge taking place at the Zurich Classic. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, we're here in New Orleans this week at the Zurich Classic, and Zurich are celebrating their 100-year anniversary of Zurich Insurance here in America. And we had some fun out there today. Seven of us, myself, Camille Villegas, Justin Rose, Ben Crane. I'm lost for words here with the other name, Keegan Bradley, and Luke Donald, world number two player. I'm not sure how I forgot about him. But, we dressed up in some early 1900s gear, some interesting plus fours and cardigans and and flat caps, and we've just kind of really sort of got into, like I say, into how golf might have been played 100 years ago. We played three holes with some hickory shafts and some old golf balls, and you know, really had a good time with it, and you know, certainly have a huge amount of respect for the skill level of the guys playing with that type of equipment back in those days. And we're certainly spoiled nowadays with 21st century golf equipment. It's just got hugely impressive and makes the game very easy. But like I say, Zurich have done some great things within golf, and you know, the tradition continues this week, and we're just helping them celebrate their 100th birthday this week.
Graham, I want to thank you very much for your time. Congratulations on your U.S. Open championship. You are welcome here on Sports Byline anytime. Take care, Graham.
Thanks, Ron. Thanks for having me on, bud.
Right. Graham McDowell with us, U.S. Open champion. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.